we can look at it together and then pray, make a personal response, because it's resurrection time.
Amen.
Resurrection time. That scripture in Matthew. Matthew is the only one that recorded it. That scripture in Matthew is very. Maybe we'll start from there. Speaking about the resurrection. 27, resurrection of Christ. You know, many times we speak about resurrection, we don't think about it. You know, there is the popular one is the one that is good for us, for our flesh, because it doesn't really demand anything from us. The rapture, you know, we can push it forward and say, well, a trumpet will sound and then we shall be carried, you know. But this one, you know, is within, and the word that we are hearing is that there is a resurrection, there is a coming forth.
Amen.
Of Christ, you know. You see, part of a continuation of the message of last week, the oil and the wick, you know, Christ in you and Christ and we in Christ, you know. So Christ comes into us, you know, as that tree of life. It's a seed, and a seed, you know, a seed has all the, if you know the DNA about the gene, the seed has everything within it to become a mighty tree. And you gave the example of the mustard seed. We know about the mustard seed, so small. I've seen the mustard seed, very, very small. Very, 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 very small. It's like sand. But when it grows, it fills the whole earth. So that's speaking of the capacity of the Christ in us, each one of us. And if we break the fallow ground, it will spring up, you know, and it will fill everywhere. So we'll just read a few of these scriptures and then we will share together. And then we will pray and respond. And if need be, pray for one another, as the case may be. The scripture, I think, is in Matthew, I think it's 50 something, isn't it? Matthew 27. So we have many scriptures read, so we'll just move it around. Sister Favor, you're writing. Can you read for us from 15? 50. So, oh, you haven't seen it. 50. To 54. So this is the testimony that Brother Sonny was talking about. You know, it was not a hidden resurrection. Sometimes, if I was telling my wife 2 days ago, I said, my theology, I have to change it, because we all grew up with this feeling, with a teaching and a belief about God, about resurrection, you know. Jesus asked them, say, how does God call, say, Abraham, God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of, I say, God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. So my understanding of living It's different. And for me, I say, God, I'm changing it. You know? We are so afraid of death. Because when you're a believer, you can never die. Death is finished. Believers don't die. You sleep in the Lord. You know? So, that's part of the resurrection that we need to come into. And no better time to resurrect than when you have death all over us. It's an opportunity to resurrect in our mind. You know? That there's no virus that can come and kill you. You know? So that's on that plane. Okay. It's different from presumption. But we're looking at reality of faith. But in this place, when he resurrected, the centurion saw it and confirmed that this was the Son of God. Like he said, the brethren, in fact, they went and showed themselves to the people and they went to heaven. It was not... in fact, they terrorized, they properly had a witness. You know, all the whole of Jerusalem, they knew that the sons of God were in town. So that resurrection, like he's saying, if we look into our hearts, our emotions, our desires, in our will, you know, we see situations of death. You know, and the time has passed when, you know, it's just reading, you know, cliche. Like you said, we'll come to fellowship, we'll go back, you know, we can't. Because we have come to the place of life, and that life must touch the dead conditions in us.
Amen.
You know? So that's the reality. So we're not going to wait, until even as we say we're praying, as we're going along, she will pray for herself, you know, and receiving life and breakthrough. Now, there was something he said there about the veil, that the veil of the temple, which temple is he talking about? You know, there was a temple right there in Jerusalem. And when he resurrected, the temple, the veil broke. And Hebrews 10 tells us what the veil is. Hebrews 10, 19, that Jesus broke through the veil. And that the veil is flesh.
Amen.
Now, when the Bible uses the word flesh, it is speaking about something. It's speaking about the fallen nature of your mind, of your emotions and desire and will. That's what the Bible means by flesh. You know, flesh naturally means, flesh is not what you are seeing. This is not flesh. What you are seeing is skin. The flesh is inside, covered by the skin. So, the flesh is inside. It's the raw, if you can't open it, it is under the bleed. That's the flesh. What you are looking at is skin. In the spirit, flesh is human nature. In its raw, fallen, ungodly, wicked, dark, carnal nature. It has so many adjectives we can use to describe it. That is what the Bible means by flesh. It's not covered by the Spirit of God. The soul of man is not covered. God is the only one that can cover your soul, your mind. The mind of Christ should cover your mind. That's when you are covered. That's the covering of the soul. Now when man fell, that covering, that glory, lifted. If you look at Ezekiel, you see when he says the cherubims, they lifted, they left the temple, they left. But they came back later. They left in Ezekiel 11, 10, 11. By Ezekiel 42, 41, the glory started coming back. You know, so we are in the place, we are in the time of action, a time of resurrection. So we're looking at this scripture. It says, the veil of the temple broke and Christ came forth. You understand? And you are that temple. Go ahead and say, know you not that you are the temple of the living God. And there is a veil. What's that veil? Your fallen mind, my fallen nature. My carnal, as we're hearing that, maybe the things that went through in the week, areas where you made the wrong decision, you fell into sin, or something happened, or somebody hurt you. Those are all flesh, all hovering around. Things that happened in the past, and all that. That's all around. That is the flesh. And the Bible says that the glory of God can break through it and bring life. You understand? So, in that situation, he says that the bodies, they broke through the rock. The bodies, is speaking about those people. The rock there, again, speaks of our carnality. The body is the covering for our soul. So also, the spirit, the carnality of the world, everything that you are looking at, the thoughts. When you on your hand, you have the phone, you have people are bringing all their carnalities out there in the internet. That is it. And you know, sometimes it's weighing on you. When you have read too many things, watched too many, it just presses you down. The Bible says, spring forth, oh well. You know, you must come to that place where you learn how to let the Christ come forth and set all those coverings aside. You wake up in the morning, maybe somebody says something to you you don't like, and he's covering you. You must go to where you say, spring up, oh well, where that, you release that well, and you knock aside every other thought. And, you know, the Bible says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, bring forth imagination. Let me look, let's read that scripture. I think it's practical and it helps. Sometimes you open the scripture, you want to read, you want to pray, and that's when all the things you did last night or the previous day, they are all there with you. How that is a time when the well must spring forth. Where is it? Okay, 2 Corinthians 10. Somebody will read for us. Let's start. Brother John, read that for us. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 to 6. You're still looking?
No, I'm talking about it. So.
You can read it from the Bible now.
I can't see the words are too small. Okay,
2 Corinthians 10.
No,
where are you?
Okay, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has utterly set against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Okay, so it's speaking about casting down every imagination. Who is going to cast down the imagination? It's we, you know. So we are the ones. Imagine, imagination is speaking of the mind, you know. And one of the things that is in my heart that we look at the fruit of the spirit. That's an evidence of resurrection. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. The result of the coming forth of Christ within our soul is described as fruit of the Spirit. The impact. That's what people will see. You say, let your light so shine before men. Where I need to be patient. And people don't expect that I can be patient. Now, in that situation, that, you know, I see a strength, comfort. You see the strength, comfort, and you can forgive. You can turn the other cheek. You can, you know. So, and that's part of what we find that is lacking today. You know, the fruit and the character. You know, it's so easy to to believe God for.
It's
so easy to believe God for miracles. So, oh, I need a job. God, give me this. That's fine. That doesn't take too much of character, you know. But we are coming to a place where, you know, we are looking. We are looking at fruit, evidence of Christ in you, and we are, you know, we are looking at habits, pressures in the spirit, weights, you know, burdens, you know, things that come. That things they find. Maybe you have dreams, you know. Things like that, well, you know, that come. He's still saying that the Christ in us will spring up, and by the strength of that Christ, we begin to put down the enemy. You know, so the strength to put down the enemy is not your own strength. You know, so you're not trusting in yourself. You know, but you are trusting in the Christ. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." That is the resurrection. You know, so you have a huge mountain ahead of you, and you know that in my own strength I can't. But in the strength of Christ that is in me, by that strength I can. I can. In fact, he says that old great mountain before Zerubbabel will become a plain. There are two different things, and I don't know if you're not clear about it, we can talk about it. You need to differentiate your mind, your strength, from the strength of Christ, the Christ in you. So it's not just why you are different from the other person, add them to it, is that Christ is in you. And the Christ in you is a resurrection Christ. It's welling up. And it wants to swallow, it is working to swallow death. So sometimes God will allow death to come to you so that you can release the Christ in you. Amen. So, and what will happen is that when that comes, oh God, take me out of this trouble. Oh, let this trouble go. Let this one go. Let this one go. But I'm missing the blessing. So, the situation, that's why it says that in everything, give thanks. You're not giving thanks and say, well, that's okay, let me, nothing happened to me. No. I'm giving thanks because greater is He that is in you,
yes,
than He that is in the world. Mm. So yeah, and that was the strength of David. He saw Goliath was a big man, you know, a man of war, trained. He has been fighting from his beginning. He knows the science of war. Here comes a stripling, that a shepherd boy. He doesn't know anything about. But the man said, "You come against me." He said, "I come against you in the name." Game changed. It was no longer David. It was now the Spirit of Christ that was, and before you knew it, Goliath was on the floor, settled, matter settled, in a miraculous way. And there are Goliaths in our lives, there are Goliaths in our society, you know. And today, saying, let this well, let the Christ in us comfort. And we could see here that the centurion had that, or maybe God put him there that day so that he can see Christ. There are some centurions that God has allowed into our life because God wants to show them Christ. But our attitude is not an attitude of resurrection. We are an attitude of, oh, let me get out of this trouble and get onto the, and be free, and be free of stress. You know, so we need to make those, that mental change to realize that the situations that come against us, that we find ourselves in, there's a solution. And that solution is the Christ that is in us. Let me read Ezekiel 47, for speaking about the river. And we will, please, if I forget, we'll have to read just another river in Genesis 2. But let's take this one first. And as we were reading it, we are addressing the dark places within us and our situations. And we are commanding them to hear the word of the Lord. And the word is saying, spring forth, O well. and bring life. So this is another long one from verse 1 to 1 to 9. So, scenario. So you're going to read Ezekiel 47, 1 to 9.
Unto the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me, and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees, on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come to the For they shall be healed, and everything shall live without the river cometh.
Okay, so this is speaking of the river, and this is no ordinary river, because it's coming from the temple, and it's actually coming from the altar. Remember, we talked about the throne. The throne is the same as the altar of God, and it's our soul. That's God's throne. And he's saying the altar is coming from God. Sorry, the river is coming from God, and it's issuing out. And it's going where? It's going to the dead places in the desert. That's where it's going. But you can see the waters, they increase from the ankle to the knee, to the loins, and to swim. So there are four dimensions. Okay? The soul, there are also four dimensions in your soul. Now, you know, these waters has a power and a capacity. That's the desert places, the dead places. When the water comes in, if it is anything that is dead, if it touches it, it will make it alive. So that is the water we are speaking of. You know, so as we come before God, as brother was saying, we need to come by faith, knowing that there is a solution. And that's the purpose of fellowship. In our coming together, we are coming unto God. We are, in fact, someone said, you come to God as you are. You say, draw nigh with a heart. With a heart, well, full of assurance. Okay? A heart of faith. So that not just let me just go. No. I said, Lord, I'm coming with my deserts. I'm coming with my dead places. I'm coming with my dry places. I'm coming. And as I come, I know there's a river coming. Actually, I was looking, maybe next week, I'll try and set up something. But I would have drawn to show us the river. There is a river flowing from the Father's heart to your own heart. Now, the devil and situations will always make us to forget, to look outside. David says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. You know, where we are now, Bible says, we read last week, that no man shall say to his brother, know the Lord, because you should know. So you yourself, you should know where your strength is. Your strength is in Christ. And that Christ, that source of river is in you. The Christ in you is the source of the river. So when we say spring up, we are saying, let this Christ that is in me come forth. And it's coming with a mission. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He went and Holy Ghost and power. He did what? He went about doing good. Do we know it?
Yes.
We know the scripture. Good. Acts 10:38. So Jesus, every day, is coming to do good. And that good must begin from me, from you. And he is coming to address the, you know, that song says, it makes the blind to see. You know what is blind? You know that there are eyes within your heart.
Yes.
And that those eyes are closed. That's the blindness. And you notice that in the miracle of Jesus Christ, in his ministry, he was always healing eyes, always healing ears, always healing the mouth, always talking about the dead. He's speaking to the situation of our heart, our ability to stand in the things of God, our ability to see, our ability to hear, our ability to, you know. So, there, and he did, it was the same, when he came, he healed the sick. You know, there was a ministry of life that came. And his brother is speaking to our condition that this river has life. And we must believe it. Now, we must believe it. We must believe it. When you need to believe it is when you have a problem. When there's no problem, it doesn't matter. You may not necessarily. But it's when you are faced with a challenge. That's when we must believe that this river has life. The Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. So there is a life flowing from the Spirit of God to your spirit. And from your spirit, it's flowing to your soul and to your body. So that's the chain of the flow of life. You know, so we must trust God and we must believe God. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen.
Amen.
So of us are sleeping. If you feel sleepy, you can go and get tea. That's reality. It's called reality. Reality, I need to shake my body. You can go and get tea. There's tea, there's hot water there. If, you know, so if you have faith, or you stand around and walk around. Walk around. Okay, that's more immediate. Okay. So, brethren, we're speaking about the springing up of the well. Last week, we talked about the week. And who was it that summarized it for us? Okay, I think it was a man that summarized it. He said, the weak is the soul. The soul, that weak has four parts. One thread is the mind. The second thread is the emotion. The third one is the will. The fourth one is the design. They're all intermingled together. And darkness has mingled itself with it, because the seed of good and evil was introduced and it has entered into the fabric of the... And we are talking about the burning. You know? The fire is burning the darkness out. You understand? And the wick must remain in the oil. You know? And it's still part of what we are... It's still part of what we are looking at. You know? The wick... So... The wick, our mind, our emotions, and, you know, we are in the presence of God, and the fire is burning. You know, we are, and like Brother Ben was saying, remember, he said the oil has to go to the top. That's the flow of a river we are looking at. The oil flows by its Holy Ghost pressure, flows to the top, and it starts burning. That's how the river is flowing. But remember, when the river is coming, it is at the ankle. There are parts of the man that are not touched. Then it increases to the knee. Then increases to the loin. And then fully, where everything is covered. So as we give yourself, as we surrender ourselves, that oil is spreading, touching every part. Someone said, if you go to the beach, Port Harcourt Beach, I remember I've been to Port Harcourt Beach before. If you don't go around, if you go to Port Harcourt, you'll see. Or you go to, you are traveling, you want to enter boat. When you get there, the water is at your ankle. You are at the shore. You are very safe. You understand? You are very much in cover. You are a spectator. You know? There are some of us in the things of God, we are spectators. We are very much in control. Nothing has happened. You're not inside the river. The river is there. Okay, so, and that's what the brother was saying. The Christ can be such that it will affect our testimony. But why we don't have the testimony? Because we are spectators. We are, you know, we are still in control. Our feet is on the ground. You know, we are still getting life from, you know, our you know, comfort zones, where the things we are sure of, you know, we are just, you know, very much at the very low level, because our feet are still touching the ground. Exactly. But, you know, God, things happen and you push you. You say, my friend, enter the water. And you move a little bit. And the water comes to the knee. It's to the knee now. It's from ankle, it's come. You are more involved in the things of God. The knee is the place of prayer. You're needing to carry button, you are praying. But remember, your leg is still on the earth. That's where the church is. We are still very much accustomed to our, you know, lifestyle. You know, I hear some people are giving testimony. All their suits and their handbags and their shoes are in the wardrobe. They can't wear it because they can't go to work. COVID has settled all the $1,000 suit. You say, how you know? You can't go anywhere. You say, walk from the house. So COVID has settled it. You understand? So our feet were still on the ground. But there's another dimension. And that's when it gets to the loin. You know, the loin is the, you know, speak of the fruitfulness, reproduction, ability to bring forth life. You know, the church, we have been struggling, you know, the ability to reproduce the testimony of Christ on the earth. You know, and of course, it's even easy to turn to technology, to turn to organization, church growth, church planning, church planting, you know, all those things. You divide the departments, even within ourselves, there are things we do. You know, but there is a place where the power of Christ brings forth life. Able to, and those of us who are students, I want to challenge you. Your mind is very, very powerful. The Christ in your mind. You say you be the head and not the tail.
Yes, sir.
Now, being the head and not the tail is not so much by my power. I can read book. I can do this, no? There is something called revelation knowledge. Who was the one that was sharing the testimony with us? Is it not you? About the man that was seeing the question paper. Is it not? You know, copy for me. So, look, so we, you know, our work with God is not boring. I don't know for the young people. I'm looking at you. I said, my God. Yeah, you see, the thing about crying, why it's boring? Because you are still at the ankle. You know, most of what of our testimony is still the old nature, the old desert soul. The life of Christ has not yet touched it. You know, but we must make up our mind to commit. You know, if I share my testimony, you know, I was in a youth camp. I was at the back of the hall, and a brother was preaching. And I said, he was talking about change of lifestyle. So I said, if I leave this camp, something must change. A practical time. And I hope that this morning, as you are here, before you leave, you make a quality decision. No, it's not emotion. It has to be a practical decision. That decision meant that by 4 o'clock, I am in my study. The Bible is open. I thought, yeah, you and Bible, you must read it. Now, I set my time. One phone was by 4 o'clock. No, 4:15. Another phone was by 4:30. The other phone was at 4:45. So, if I miss the first alarm, the second alarm will catch me. The third one, by the third alarm, and it's very, very loud. By the third alarm, I'm going to read. Not like Burabian that is begging Nepa to take light. I don't have light. So that means that I have this watch and touch I went and bought. It's this China touch that has the one, you know, it's bright. I must charge it. Nobody, because I don't know if I don't charge it, I will not have light when I wake up. So I charge it, make sure I have power. So that by that 4 o'clock, inside that study, I said, now, open the book and read. That's what it means by deciding. I said, the water is no longer going to be at my ankle. It's going to my loin, my mind. I said, this mind, you must read the Bible. Whether you understand it, though, this was the son of this. This was the son of this. I said, you guy, read it. I read every line, every word. You must read it. You know what I found out? I found out after some time that my mind began to change. You know, I could think clearly. The things that were so difficult, I'm telling you students, the word of God will convert your mind. With that talent you have, will sharpen it. You know? And of course, after some time, I began to see the effect on so many, even the way I feel, my emotions, everything began to change. It didn't fall on my laps. I made a decision. I sat down, opened the Bible, counted all the books of the Bible, counted all the chapters, sat down, divided it, and drew up my own Bible reading plan. I said, the one that will suit me. I drew it out, went on the computer, typed it, and this, I even paste, I should send it around. But it was a program for me. If you want, take it. If you like, go and do your own. But you see, you have to, that's what it means to buy the oil. You have to sit down and decide that. I said, look, my lifestyle must change. It will no longer be like this. This is the way. And you bring it as an offering to God and say, Lord, this is what I'm looking at, and God will change it. You know, so there's a difference between being a spectator and being inside the river, where Christ, you know, the strength of the Christ has come into the soul. And you know what? The next thing, the man found himself swimming. His leg was off the ground. And he was not going by the strength of that flow. You know? It was this, the current he was moving with. And it's a testimony I want to give you. You may be looking at where you are. You are looking at your own place. Look at Christ.
Amen.
What is God telling you to do? And make a quality decision. This is what I'm doing now. This is the new thing I now want to begin to do. Don't take many things, though. Pick one. One quality one. You know, if you look at the example of Jesus, after healing people, you know what he does? Early in the morning. Where is he?
In
the mountain. Because he knew that was the quality. That was his connection time. And nothing could touch it. Even in the evening, when he, after the miracle, what does he do? He throws them away and says, you go, throw to the other side. He separates himself. And he goes. So it was a quality lifestyle. So some people are looking at the miracles of Jesus. He healed. But that was a connection point. There was a connection point. You must have a point where you make a connection with these gods. I know of a young man. He's a businessman. You know what he does? One day of the week, he said, God, set this aside to see God's face. That day, no going out, no market, nothing. It's God. God blessed him. God blessed him. And he said, sell him. You know? So, it's not necessary that, you know, the physical, yeah, the physical will come. But you will excel in your relationship with God. That you know. Say, if you boast that we know God. You know? So, we are speaking about the springing up of the well. There are conditions. There are lifestyles. There are things that will encourage this springing up. And it is with us. It's our lifestyle. Look at your day. What is it that is taking your time? What value is it? And then look at what can you put on the table. Say, Lord, I want to put this on the table. And I know that I can engage you. You know, and you know, I can see what the difference would be. Let's go to this Genesis 1 that I wanted to go to since. Remember, we're talking about the springing up of the well. We're speaking about the oil. We're speaking about the wick. We're speaking about the power, how the oil moves, how Christ can enter into our soul, into our mind, you know, and the testimony that we can get, the healing of the nations. Okay, it's Genesis 2 from 9. No. Let's start from 7. Ezekiel. So it's Genesis 2, 7 to 14. Yes.
The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. and the demon will tell everybody, hey, get care. That is it, which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying of every tree of the garden, thou mayest eat it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it.
It's okay. Yeah, in verse what now? No, it's okay. We're looking at 7 to 14. Okay. Now, he's talking about Eden. Now, if you read verse, God, it says the Lord made a garden. Verse 8, it says the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So, there are two gardens there. Eden was a garden, and indeed the Lord planted another garden. You know, I don't know if you have seen a garden before. There must be a source of water. If not, it becomes a wilderness. There must be water supplying, you know. Someone said, Isaiah said it, Jeremiah said it, say, our soul shall be like a watered garden. The soul of man is the garden of the Lord, is the place of rest. It's a place of comfort. It's not just a dry place. But it can be dry if there is no flow. Remember, we're talking about that flow. It's coming from the temple. So when God sets up his altar, his throne in your heart, what happens is that he restores the life. The life starts flowing. The life of God starts flowing. There are things you do to bring the life of God. One, anytime your mind is set on the things of God, the life of God automatically starts flowing. It's the thought. So your mind is the east gate, is the gate that brings life. And the devil knows that. And that's why he's bombarding the whole world with all amount of rubbish. Because if your mind is blocked, the life of God cannot come to you. So the gate into your soul is your mind. The gate into your soul is the mind. And the devil knows it very much. And that's why they say, when you fail in your mind, you have lost everything. It's gone. The control of the soul is the mind. The mind is one that is like a bird. It can fly everywhere. That's the mind is the major part of your soul, the mind. And because the mind flies, it's the only part that can pull up. You see the bird, when he wants to fly, it spreads the wing. You know? So the wing represents operation of the spirit. The wing. The wings or the bird speaks about the operations. And you know, the bird, there are some birds that fly very straight. Others, they're dumping around. It's speaking about the operation of the mind. There are sometimes, even as a student, you want to read, your mind is jumping around. But because you are worried by so many cares. If a young girl meets a young man that says, I will marry you. We have seen such cases. From that day, her academic is going down. Do you know why? The minute she sits down to read, she remembers all the things the boy is telling her. You are the best girl in town. I will marry you, I will take care of you. And she starts dreaming. Before you know, her grades are going down. That's look at it in natural. It's, you know. So the mind can easily be destabilized. So also stresses, troubles, you know, can come. And if you are given to a movie, what you are doing, you are bombarding your mind with so many images. And you know WhatsApp, so many films. As you press it, it's going to take 3 minutes to open. So you are waiting for 3 minutes to watch. And what they want to tell you is how to be a good man. Or how to use your time well. Or what else again? You know how well, good things. How a man, maybe you see one Indian man telling you how good is better than bad. Can you imagine? Good is better than bad. Your Bible has already told you that. So when you have all those images, immediately you sit down, you want to pray. you will travel to India, you will travel to Aba, you will travel to this. His mind. The Bible says that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed. So if you want to arrest your mind, keep it on the word of God. So of course, after you finish reading, from here to the gate, that is the end. You need to remember what you read. Because it's telling you that your mind is untrained. It's traveled very, very, very far. And the cure for it is to sit down and change the lifestyle. If you are used to watching all those images and films and so on, because you know, when you have finished, that's not the end though. The film will keep playing.
Yes.
The video will keep playing. Sometimes it will follow you and enter the dream. In the dream, you are still watching. And even when you come to fellowship, it has not ended though. You are still watching. And it becomes, that's what the Bible calls it, weight. It's a weight on you. You know, it's a weight on you. You can't think. You can't pray. Those even, so scripture already last week says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By doing what? Taking heed. Taking heed means fix your mind on the thing of God. It's a discipline. It's a decision. That, and the Christ in you will give you that strength. You know? So here, we're talking about these four rivers. The first one, it says Pison. Pison means increase. Again, we're coming back to Brother Ben's law. Brother Ben said, when you put the wick inside the oil, what happens? The wick travels. The oil travels to the top. It's increasing. Hallelujah. The river of God must always increase. And that's what we saw in Ezekiel 47. You know what he says? Draw near to God. What will God do to you? He will draw near. There is nobody who cannot pray. There is nobody who cannot wait on the Lord. There is nobody who cannot hear from God. It depends on you are giving yourself to. You know, when Samuel came, he didn't know, is it not? But in a few months' time, what was happening? He began to hear God clearly. If God speaks to you today, Ezekiel, go and do so and so, you push it down. What you have done is that the next time, it will be more difficult to even hear because you have quenched the spirit. So, if next time he says, Ezekiel, go here, and you followed, the next time that voice is coming, it will be stronger. It's simple. You know, initially, Samuel did not know, but at the fourth time, they said, it is the Lord, go back. And when he spoke, what did he say? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And after some time, he said, Samuel, that the word of the Lord never departed from him. He grew. She says that the path of the just is what? Like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. He's telling you your ability to hear God, your ability to see the things of God, your ability to stand and walk. You know? So because Jesus heals the lameness. You know, a word comes, like someone says, oh, I can't, my appetite, I stay 2 or 30 minutes in fellowship, I'm tired. He's tired. You are tired, yes, because that is the capacity you have given. But if you expand yourself, like the brother was saying, spring up, oh well. If you expand yourself, after 4 hours, it's like one, you are not even started. He's the same person. You know, you can see Moses. God said, come. And he was in the mountain for 40 days. And 40 nights, nothing happened. You know? So we are saying to encourage ourselves to allow this river to increase. Pison, it will increase. But you know what? He said that it flowed to the river. There is gold there. The gold speaks of the life of God. Let's read it. Verse verse 11, yes. He compared the whole land of high, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is gold. There is zelium and the honest stone. So, how is he comparing river to gold? Gold is the life of God, is it not? So, as a river, if you see where they are getting gold, you have to wash it. You bring it. You dig it from the earth. And the water washes away the earth and brings out the gold. But that's not the gold you want. You still have to burn it. And we are talking about the fire. So when the wick is there, God will bring fire upon your life to burn off the chaff so that the gold of the land will come forth. I don't know if we are getting it. So that's why there must be pressure in your life. There is no way your life will be straightforward. It's not so, anybody that has straightforward life, he needs to pray to God. Say, God, please, have mercy on me. Because it's the pressure that will bring forth the gold. It's the pressure. Things not working the way they should be. Stress, trouble. And that's what pushes you to God, to seek God. Samuel came out of what? Samuel. Immediately she married. Samuel came from his prison. Amen. As she began to pray and travail, the gold came forth. Amen. Samuel came forth. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. So as Christian people, we must understand God's ways. God's way is that there will be trials. So we must enter the kingdom through much tribulation. There's a difference between foolishness and tribulation. But if you get foolishness, God will still help you, because the foolishness will land you inside tribulation. God will say, I will be with you, and he will not forsake you, because you are foolish. You understand? So if you're a student like me, when I got to university, the first semester I was attending fellowship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Of course, you know the result. You know the result. After that semester, I advised myself. I said, look, I have to drop some. So I dropped some courses, some fellowships, and I chose the one I will go. You understand? It's foolishness. I was zealous. It's good to be zealous. But there's a place where there's wisdom. Amen. Doing it appropriately. That's what it means. That's your moderation. Moderation means appropriate. There's an appropriate behavior as a student, a Christian student. You can't say, oh, I came here to read. You read. Of course, God will also knock you on the head. So you have to balance it. You know, even for adults, we have to balance our time. And I'll keep also saying, because we are challenged by this black thing on my hand, there's an appropriate behavior with electronic media. It's not appropriate behavior. If you abuse it, it will report for you. Because all the garbage, they will start playing when you don't want it to play. That's when the images will start coming out. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes. So wherever you are, you must have an appropriate behavior. You must relate appropriately. And when you relate appropriately, that life of God will increase. So it's like a light that shines brighter and brighter. Amen.
Amen.
And you saw that where the devil meets you today, if he calls that tomorrow, he shouldn't find you there. So he says, a righteous man will fall seven times. Seven times will he what? Will arise. Do you know where he arise? Because he knows that there is power in that river to heal. Amen.
Amen.
And if I fall, I'll rise. When the devil comes next, I'm stronger than he meant me. I'm going to resist him. Because there is a strength in me. That's the next one we are coming to. Now, the next one is Gihon. It's Pison Gihon. Gihon means bursting forth. Hallelujah. It means bursting forth. This river has ability to break the dam. It has ability to break the bondage. It has ability to break the chains. He has the ability to, you know, to lose the yoke. It's a jubilee-bringing river. Hallelujah. Amen. That is, when the river meets you, you are in bondage. By the time it finishes, you are a prince.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Joseph. God gave him a dream. Is it not? Somebody carried him and put him inside the hole. Did the dream die there?
No.
Somebody brought him out. He sold him. Guess where he landed? In the palace of Pharaoh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God hasn't finished with him. God hasn't finished with him. But he landed in prison. Say, I thought I had finished from suffering. But from prison, where did he go to? Became prime minister. It's called Gihon. Breaking barriers.
Amen.
When you are with God, there can never be a barrier in your life. Unless God did not put you there.
Yes.
If God gave you a dream, if God gave you a word, He must fully. But you know, that was not the end though. Because he showed him, his brothers, all of them came and they were kneeling down. He said, he came back and said, I'm your stronger. He said, take it easy, the pathway to the dream. You understand? Eventually, his brothers came one day. He said, we are your servants. Kill us, do anything you want. Did the dream come to pass?
Yes.
But through much tribulation. When God speaks to you, he tells you the future. He doesn't tell you the road you are going to pass through the future. Because if he tells you, you say, I'm not going. Amen.
Amen.
He told the man, I'll make you a father of many nations. He told him, I'll make you a father of many nations. Did it happen? He made the father of many nations. But he didn't tell him he would stay 25 years until he get that son. But he told him, I'll make you a father. So he was only father. For 25 years he was waiting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After 25 years, when he was 100, the son came. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you must learn the principle today.
Hallelujah.
What God has given you, no man can take it. If, unless you have not heard from God, unless God has not spoken. But if God speaks a word, you can start running. Based on that word, it will surely come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. If you read church history, or even world history, you will see it. All the things that God said will happen, one after the other, they are becoming and passing. Everything, clockwork. You know, Jesus was going out of the temple. They said, "See the beautiful." Say this was. He said, "It's coming. A time is coming. Not one stone will stand." You know, they use gold to make the temple. Every stone, there was gold in between, everywhere. And Jesus saw it. Said, this one, not even one stone. 70 years after. That was what happened. One Roman crazy man. He came, sat down, and melted the temple, stone by stone, and took all the gold away. His name is Vespasian. They stole and ripped the temple, and took everything, and not one stone. When Jesus said it to them, he said, this one, he has come again. You understand? So I'm telling you, in history, if you go into your computer, type in there, Titus, you will see his name. So there is no word of God that was given that did not come to pass. Even when one rascal Babylonian king called, what's his name, Nebuchadnezzar, he came and destroyed the temple. Jeremiah has said it, that the land, that their own is too much. God says, the land will be in rest for 70 years. The man came. After 70 years, another man called Cyrus came. It's okay, let everybody go back and build the temple. And God, they provided the money, provided everything, and that temple was built, raised up again. So, the life of God in you has the ability to break barriers.
Amen.
So when you see a barrier, you say, barrier, you are there to be broken.
Amen.
That's what we call faith.
Amen.
Yeah, that faith is in God.
Amen.
to deal with the situation. So let's bring it within us. Anger, bitterness, lust, unforgiveness. All those things are bondages. But the Christ is there. And we're saying, say to the, rise up, oh well, and break through the anger. So break through the lust, break through bitterness, break through. So someone said, oh, in my family, forget about your family. That situation, God put you there so that the Son of God will comfort, and like the centurion, they will say, ah, this is the life of God. They can see the life of God in you. If there was no trouble, how would they have been able to see the life of God? So that's the second quality, that the life of God is powerful to break through every barrier. And as it's breaking it, it's spreading. It's increasing. The oil is moving. Hallelujah. So why the purpose why you are earth is that God wants the oil to begin from A to Z. So that at the end of time, the oil will have, and you have obtained the testimony. You didn't come here to eat granite and eat food. That's not why God, or to be this or that. All those things are just a means. So that the chief purpose that Christ might comfort in you. Because the Bible says we shall stand all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what at the end, what is the measure of Christ in you? So when you see trouble, you say, praise the Lord. We will overcome this one also.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it means by faith. You say, faith is the evidence of things not seen. How can you have evidence of things not seen? It's telling you that your inward man has seen it done.
Hallelujah.
But your physical eye has not seen it done. That's what you're speaking. That is faith. Faith is the reality of your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, oh, I have a dream. I'm going to be have a big company. Who is it? Your physical eye has not seen it, but in your soul, you have conceived it. And you are running with it. You are running with a vision. You call it a vision. So also, you say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you see God, you see the plan of God for you as a believer. For Paul was saying that the eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling. When you know the hope of your calling as an individual, I'm telling you, the devil cannot speak any grammar to you because you have seen it. And you know, what a man sees, you cannot take it from him. If the man has not seen it, it doesn't belong to you. But I used to have a chemistry teacher. I said, the one in your head, the one you have, the one in the book doesn't belong to you. So please put away the book. Tell us what's inside your head. Amen.
Amen.
So in life, God is working with you so that you can see. You can see God, have a reality of God. He says, the substance of things hoped for. Hope is, you haven't got it, but in the spirit you have laid hold of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And because you are holding it, it will come pass one day. Amen. You know? So in the time of stress, where we are entering into tribulation, there is an economy that God is bringing. It is the economy of Christ. Economy of Goshen. Do you know that Goshen was multiplying when Egypt was dying? Are you aware of that? Everybody in Goshen was multiplying. The Israelites were multiplying while there was trouble. You know, so as we are, if we plug into Christ, if the life of Christ is working in us, there's going to be trouble in the world, but it's not going to affect you because we are connected. And there's the river that is supplying you and giving you life is stronger than the river, than the source that's in the world. Praise God. Now, the third one is even more exciting. Hidike. You know what Hidike means? Hidike means rapid flow. Tell that young man to stand up. Upstanding. You know? So, it means rapid, flowing rapidly. You know what it tells me? He's saying that You know, I remember Bro Ben used to, there's something he used to tell us in those days. I'm sure he has forgotten. When you see water that is dirty, do you know what happened to the water? Bro Ben, tell us that. It means the water is not flowing. Any water that is dirty is not flowing. Go and check. When the water is flowing, what will happen? It will be clear. It will be clear. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know what it means? Hidike means rapid flow. A mighty river flowing. Anything in its way to carry it and go. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he's saying that this life of God is coming with a strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And you can see the strength from the ankle. It's moving up to the knee. It's moving up to the line. It's moving up to the place where you can only swim. And it's still moving. Hallelujah. You know, so only you and I can determine which part of the flow we will be in. There's some people say, we just want the quiet one. Let's just be in control. I just want God to give me food, eat, and I'm all right. It's called 30-fold. There's 60-fold. I want a little bit of power to, you know, show the. But the real power is when God changes your character. Hallelujah. When the river is so much that even within, all the rubbish in your mind, in your emotions, everything is swept aside. Hallelujah. And it is only you that will determine which one you get. Hallelujah. And we'll give the story of Jabez. He was born in sorrow. Did this stop him? He said, oh God, have mercy on me. And they said, God heard him. So it doesn't depend on geography, where you are born, or who, your situation. The thing is, are you able to cry?
Yes, sir.
Are you able to respond to God? And, you know, so this river, remember, is from within you. Spring up, oh well. And we're saying, I want all. Because this river is in degrees. You know? And it says if we submit to God, God will submit to us. Remember Psalm 42 was saying, he said, all your waves, all your billows, they're all over me. Amen. You know, so there are depths of God that we can get to. And you can only get it by stirring up. You know, stir up yourself to see God. There was a man, I think his name is Amaziah. He said he did not prepare his heart to see God. His father, he had great father and grandfathers who were great kings, David, Solomon, Asa, and others. But when he came, he didn't prepare his heart to see God. And if you didn't hear anything, you must prepare your heart to see God. You must make up your mind and say, I'm going to be a man or a woman that will see, my life will be seeking God. There are some people whose life is to imitate Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Or to imitate, that's very fine, to imitate Naira Marley. They call them Malians. That's their lifestyle. They read about him, study about him, dress like him. In fact, the spirit of Naira Marley has come. I don't want to be Naira Marley. I want to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Someone said, the star of my life is Jesus. And it's a decision you make. You say, lifestyle. Say, my lifestyle will be like this. And when you choose, you get plugged and the river starts flowing you. It will blow you. You know, and the end of it, you know, will be a life of blessing. Now, the last one is Euphrates. It means fruitfulness. Amen. What a beautiful way to end. The first one is what? Increase. It's a spring. Spring up, oh well. Increasing. The next one is what? Bursting forth. Breaking everything. All the bondages. If you another one is coming that will carry all the remnant, blow, carry everything out. Hallelujah. You are looking for the pieces. You can't use it because the river has... I've blown it away. And at the end, it's going to give you a beautiful picture of fruitfulness. That river, that life of God, that garden of God. He said, hallelujah. You know, so someone says, my life is scattered. Praise God for you. But at the end, it's going to be a garden of Eden.
Amen.
You know, so that's what God is offering you. And you know, this fruitfulness, you see it in that lampstand though. Do you know in that lampstand we read? Do you know there are flowers there? There are flowers. Pomegranate. I'm eating, even when I went to Israel, I ate pomegranate. It's purple. Sweet food. It's like orange, in the orange, family of orange. You know, pomegranate. Very sweet. And the feast where we are, brethren, where we are going tonight is that we are heading for a feast called Feast of Tabernacles. It is a feast of fruits, of flowers. Amen. You know, see, everything God is doing is going to a destination. God wants to harvest fruit, flowers. Flowers speaks of glory of God. You know, that centurion saw the flower. He said, truly, smote his breast. Truly, this was the Son of God. That's flower. Hallelujah. The glory and the beauty of Christ. The world is going to see something.
Amen.
The world is going to see the glory of God.
Amen.
Jesus came 3.5 years, finished. Yes, Daniel 9 says that 70 years are determined. That Jesus will come at the beginning of the 70 years. So after 69 weeks, he will come. And in the middle of the week, he will be cut off. Eh? Is it a surprise that his ministry was just 3.5 years exactly? Amen. That means that somebody must finish that week. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Somebody must finish that week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why the Spirit of Christ has come. He's working in us. You know? So everything that is going is to bring us to this experience. You call the Feast of Tabernacles. All that one is grammar. But he's telling you we are coming for a time of harvest of glory. You know, the life of Christ is going to come forth. The end will be a glorious revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, it is sown in weakness, in shame. It is raised up in glory. That word, shame, means to be uncovered, to be naked. Because we are no longer married. But we are coming to a place where the glory of God is going to overshadow us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, so we're looking for our house from heaven. The word oiko means a dwelling house that nourishes you. So a glory of God is coming that will be giving life to us. That's what we are going to. And it is the coming forth of the Christ that is going to be for us. So when you look at the lampstand, it's a prophecy. You see the oil, the life of Christ flowing in you. It brings all buds, three. Brings all blood. And out of it comes flowers and then fruits. The first feast in Israel is a feast of barley, you know, root, barley. Second one is another, is also seed, is wheat. But the last one is in the summer, the seventh month is, you know, and there is a time when all the fruits are harvested in Israel. The fig tree, the olive tree, and the vine. Those three of them. The vine is the wine. The olive is the oil. The fig is the sweetness. We are coming to a point where sweetness is going to come forth in our lives. You know, there has been bitterness. There has been sorrow. You know. So in the midst of it, the world needs a sweetness. And that sweetness is going to come from you and me. And what a way to start, but to start from the immediate situation where things don't appear to be working well. The power of Christ can turn that bitterness to a sweetness. That is the power of the gospel of Christ. So the world is going towards a place of fruitfulness. The seed of Christ has been sown in the world. At the end of time, there's a sweetness that is about to come forth. And it's not going to be hanging in the air. It's going to come forth in the people. You know? So, we can rest assured that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We are not losers. If anything, Psalm 16 says, the lions are falling unto us in pleasant places, in goodly places. He said, great is our reward. Great is our inheritance in God. The challenge is that the inward man, the eyes are closed. We can't see. And Paul was praying, he said, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may see the hope of our calling and the power of Christ. Hallelujah. How that power raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Has made him to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One of the things that is being emphasized by the Spirit of God now is power. It's power. And that power must start from me to break down the barrier, the yokes and the chains. You know, where we are now is the Day of Atonement. It's a time of Jubilee. One aspect of that Day of Atonement, the trumpet is blown on the Day of Jubilee. That's the day of liberation. Every slave go home. Every bondage is broken because there's a springing up. And this river of life is going to break through, it's going to blow, you know. So there is a lot of good news in the air. Amen. If you haven't seen it, go to God and say, God, open my heart. Show me. Somebody say, eyes have not seen. Neither have ears heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God. So that means that you should see them. You should hear. Amen. Say, God has spoken once. Say, twice have I heard it. Twice means the inward man has now heard it. So the things that we are talking about, if you haven't seen it, go to God. Say, God, speak to me. Let me hear this thing they're talking about. Hallelujah. What is this excitement that they're talking about? Open my eyes to see it. Let my ears hear it. Let this vision come to me. I need to see it for myself. Because nobody will say to his brother, no, for all shall Eido. That means see it. See it with the inward man, the vision of the inward man. That's when there's a conversion. You know, so we need to have a conviction. We need to be persuaded individually that this thing is real. Not just my parents or what they're talking to, you know. So let it be that what you are doing is what you have seen. And, you know, when you see it, we'll be begging you to stop. Because it's no longer another man's vision. It's your own vision. You have seen it. And you see that this land is good. Amen. That was said, there is gold. There is delium. There is onyx. You know, onyx means burden. The onyx stone, you put it in there. That means ability to carry burden in the house of God. When you have not seen it, you can't carry it. You're not responsible. You're just enjoying Nalambali in the house of God. You know, it's a free NFA, no future ambition. We used to have them in school. Amen. My vision is Christ. Amen. So, Paul said, I do not fight as one that beateth about the air. I fight to win. So I'm running to win the prize. What's the prize? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that prize? That Christ will comfort in me. Hallelujah. In fullness. That's the vision. That's what God is calling us for. You know, sometimes we confuse, you know, people say we don't know the vision. We say our vision is no pastor. No pastor is not our vision. The vision is the coming forth of Christ within the soul, the resurrection of the Christ within the soul. That's what you have won. That's your prize. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the things that we are going through in life, or we shall go through, or we are going through, we endure. See, Jesus endured. Why? Because looking onto the cross, he endured. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must have a vision. What are you looking onto? So looking onto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Amen.
Amen.
And that they say you're not even strived unto blood. Amen. There are people, they put the sword. Somebody explained it that in those days in Rome. Caesar said, I am God. So it means everybody, you have incense in your house. On a particular time, you must bring the incense and burn it. And as you're burning the incense, you say, Caesar is Lord. If you don't, sword appears in your house. They are ready to cut your head off. It's not even so in our own time. Amen.
Amen.
So it's easy to say Jesus is Lord. There's no price to pay. Amen. In those days, lion was waiting in the stadium. If you say, choose either Caesar or lion. Amen.
Amen.
But now, we are the people that our own lion is in the spirit. There are wild beasts running around in the spirit. Noisome beasts, terrible. These beasts are ideas. One of them is internet. It's a terrible beast. It swallow you. Amen. Desires, different programs, different plans. They can overwhelm you, sweep you off your feet and carry you and you're going. Hallelujah. Like Jonah, you are in the belly of the fish. But if you make the decision for Christ, say, God, I want my own experience. I want my own reality of God. I want you to touch me. I want you to show me my word. You know, I believe that God is going to answer. So that just what came to me as the brother was talking. And I think that we can make a response to that. You know, we can come to God as we pray, and those things that He has laid upon our hearts, we can individually respond to it. He says, spring up, oh well, within my soul, you know, and it will make me whole, it will make us whole. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
I have two questions. The first one is, when you start, you talk about penetrating a mind, and the mind of Christ in us. My question is there any level that the mind could be